yeah. And then but there's a white one.
One as well.
Kiva, look up what the white one is, because it looks like cataracts. No, that's fine.
Oh.
No, I don't believe that. Sorry, no.
Well,
I
never thought I would feel the need.
But there's...
to be Googling no, bits.
I believe you're telling me the truth, but I mean, the one that I had was not that. I wasn't though, because I can't get that
pure
over here.
Cum.
Speaking
of... Wait.
It's yeah, dragon fruit, I've never heard.
Dragon fruit itself, I fully agree, tastes of nothing. But this artificial bullshit that they put in the Vit Hit tastes of something, and it's delicious.
Bollocks.
And yuzu is also delicious.
It's the yuzu. That's all
it is. The yuzu. Yeah, fair. It's also delicious, not real. Ah, what? Ah, what?
Why would you go and say something absolutely disgusting like that?
And then you go and spoil it all by saying...
Wait, did they not do that shite last week now where, do you remember, it switched to like something else or something? Yeah. But do you remember you tested it last week, went to test it again, and then it went?
Yeah. Mate. It just doesn't like recording. It's not having it. What did you do?
Can't believe you've done this. You silly bitch.
Okay, so in the meantime, Lizzie, there appears to be a citrus one.
Ooh.
It's called Revive. And that's kind of cataract colour.
Like, this is proper milky cataracts now.
What colour is it?
Like, actually.
Aside from cataract colour.
Otherwise, I'm getting coconut.
That's the one that I'm looking at.
Pineapple as well.
Coconut and pineapple. That wasn't it.
Vintage flavours. Maybe they've discontinued it because everyone was like, that's rotten.
Yeah, and it looks like cataracts.
You know? It looks like cataracts.
Sorry, they have sparkling Vitid cans now.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
They've had the cans.
Like
they have them when
they
home.
Make still things fizzy.
I'm just going to say they're very
I don't
overrated.
Like it.
I will say that.
Like, yeah, the fucking fizzy cans of Capri Sun, don't do it to me. I'm not having it.
Sorry, there's what?
That's disgusting. That's like fizzy Sunny D.
Right? It's fucking the Germans with Apfelschorle. It's a sin. Putting fucking carbonated water into apple juice. Why?
Is that not the same as Cido?
No, because it doesn't taste a bit like it. It's like you can taste them separately.
The way you said that was so rude. I love it. Is that like it's basically like Cido? No, because it's actually not like it, actually.
It's vile. It's honest. I tell you, it's like you can taste them separately. I don't know how that happens.
Ew.
They just don't gel. And you don't have that, like, almost cider taste either from the apple juice. Like, it's apple juice. But make a TV static.
I can taste it. I can feel it on my tongue.
Yeah. It's not okay.
I seen this thing once, and it's actually so true. Can I speak? It's so true.
So true.
Right? I was like... It's like, no matter, like, you could look at something and know how it's going to, like, feel on your tongue. And it's so fucking true.
Yes.
And, like, it creeps me out. Because sometimes I get weird and true. If I'm in the shower, I'm like, if I stuck my, like, tongue to the tiles, I know what it tastes like. But then, ew, shower, tile, disgusting.
No, at least it's, like, smooth. And I don't know about y'all, but I regularly clean my shower tiles.
Yeah,
I know,
surely.
But still.
Oh, Savannah, I clean things. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, in the shower. Sometimes about I clean things. What is that?
I'm only messing.
Oh, I think I'm a great
do
one.
You not?
I do tours.
I have a little squeegee. So you, like, you wipe down all the glass, you wipe down the tiles, and then you squeegee them, and then you squeegee
why
the floor,
you
and then you don't have
shit?
To mop it.
One, when the flat or the hot water has gone, because I've turned this fucking shower off, and now I'm starting to dry. I'm getting chapped. You think I'm taking the time to fucking squeegee fucking tiles and cutting glass?
It's like 2 minutes and then you don't have to go back in and scrub at the bathroom. It's
yeah, no, she's
easy.
Correct.
2 minutes, yeah.
No, we always, if we're cleaning
freezing.
The shower, we'll clean it while we're in
no.
the shower. Could you just hose it down then while you're inside? Way handier.
No, that's,
yeah, I'd rather, but I have like no. We have like an aquarium sponge, like a glass cleaning sponge for the aquarium. Best fucking shit for the shower, man. Mm. It gets all the water stains off of the glass perfectly, off of the fucking chrome perfectly. Then you scrub your wall down with it, rinse it with the fucking thing, and squeegee it, and it's dry. A few bits you have to get with a fucking little cloth, obviously. I usually use the towel I'm about to use in my hair.
Because you have to do a deep clean of the bathroom, the floor. So I'd rather just do it like. I'd rather not just do a fucking whole cleaning job on it every time.
You don't have to do it every time, girl. How dirty are you? The dirt is just spraying like, off well, Lizzie's well, body.
Wait,
like,
you said, oh yeah, when I get in the shower, I clean it down. So I'm
no,
assuming
no, no.
Then,
I would. We do it like once a week or something, or maybe once every 3 days kind of vibe. We have like a sweeping brush.
Well, I shower every second day, so I'd kind of just do the same routine every second day. Yeah, it's already wet, like,
well,
so.
Four of us in the house, it so it's kind of like whoever thinks of it. And we have a sweeping brush below that we like do the floor with and stuff, so.
Oh yeah, fair. No, it would be psychotic if everyone did it. Like me, if me and David are showering on the same day, then whoever's in the shower
that's,
last
well,
does
it. Makes
it.
Sense, yeah. Oh my god, race into the shower.
Yeah. But like then you don't have to do a deep clean because it's clean every day.
No, but even if it was cleaned every day, I would have to do a deep clean because I'm like, nothing. I can clean it all I want. Grand, where's them fucking harsh chemicals? That I need to burn every single thing alive. I don't trust it. It actually makes me itchy.
Like, you use a bit of disinfectant and stuff, and obviously I have to get down every so often to do the corners. Now, I'm not psychotic. I'm not down there fucking scrubbing my corners out behind my fucking cabinets and shit. That's part of a deep clean. Fair enough. But, like, the general clean, like, it stays generally clean. And then we have a cloth that every time we use the sink, you dry it down afterwards with the cloth. Like, wash it out and dry it down with the cloth. Then the sink stays permanently clean. And then you just every couple of days switch out the cloths because I have like a pack of them.
I'm just not doing that. I'm actually not doing that when I'm bollock naked, lads. I'm sorry. It's actually not happening.
This is not the direction I thought the start of the podcast was going. Kikwiva, tell me your audio's been fixed for this part at least.
Did you know, right? I don't know if you know this, but did you know that being gay is way worse than being a mass shooter?
I fucking seen this
did
shit.
Did you know that? It's way worse, Savannah. I don't know if you're aware, but it's way worse. This man, you know the man who shot up the fucking the club in, is it Colorado? Denver. His dad was told, and he goes, ah, he's not, you know, one of them. He's not gay, is he?
Like, when his dad found out that he was involved in the shooting, and it was in a gay club, he thought he was there because his son was gay, and that was more terrifying to the fact that his son is a murderer and had brutally shot five people.
He's hardly gay, is he?
And you... Right, you would think, right, man, right, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, right, as your profession, you shouldn't be looking on or down on anybody, right? But I mean, right, his dad was a porn star, so I mean, don't be looking down on people, like, because of their sexuality. When you've been in the sex industry, one, yourself, and I'm sure you've probably had to shoot one or two.
He's at least touching tits with one man. There was a,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
You're touching lips, and there are probably arsehole ones. I'm just going to say it, right? I'm just going to say it, right? Why?
At the very least, you have an erection while another man in the room has an erection. So
slightly, it is.
Hypocrites.
It is.
It's a little bit sus.
A little bit sus.
I am fucking. Oh, that just made.
And
my
also, the worst
so
part is he's pretending he's non-binary now. No. Yeah, it's because basically
what is
people.
The shooter or the dad?
Or whatever, but isn't. I'm going to say it. Then he's been. I'd say he's been planning it for a long time because he's been talking about being non binary for a while, but he still goes by he, like, he, him, and etc. So people are like, he's saying he's non binary to avoid hate crime charges.
Definitely.
But you're still getting murder charged. Like, does it matter at this point? Like, you're not, you cannot defend yourself at this point. Like,
I don't know.
You can call yourself fucking non-binary all you want, but like, not relevant at all.
I think it's because, like, you get the extra punch of, okay, you've committed mass murder and it was a hate crime.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
But also,
but like,
put your fucking chest into it. Like, you've committed a hate crime. Just own up. Just go along with it. Like, you've done it.
Say it. But, right, I will say something. Right, you know the way that brave man who like fucking bet the fucking absolute living life out of him and like tackled him and stuff, he stomped his head in, and another person, like another person at the club, did as well. And when I tell you, this man's head now is so funnily shaped because of the kicking that he got. But someone in the comments on Twitter said it's got, he has the perfect shaped head for a clan hood. And honestly, I've never seen something so true in my life, because it starts pointy and then just goes fat.
Oh my God. That's still, I'm thinking, like, right, okay, fair enough, right? Let's imagine that he is non-binary and he's not just saying it to save his own ass. That doesn't make you it not a hate crime.
Yeah, because you can be non-binary.
You know, internalized.
Non-binary all you want, and you could still, like...
Exactly. There's internal wars.
But you can be non-binary, non-being. And, like, your gender expression has no correlation to your sexual preferences.
To your sexuality.
Not preferences. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, as in, he can be hating on gay people and also be non-binary. It's not the same thing. Like, your gender expression has nothing to do with your sexuality. At all. He could be non-binary and fucking aromantic or whatever. Like, it had nothing to do with anything.
And the fucking class man who... I think he used to be an army vet. And when he actually fucking bit the fuck out of him. Him and his missus own a brewery. And they have merch. So if anybody's listening, also, support those fucking cool people.
Here, Savannah, I'm going to send you in the pictures of him, because he's pure sad case looking. Like, it's actually really embarrassing.
It's real. Do you know what he looks like? Do you know the way scientists made that mock picture of what they think a human body would have to look like in order to survive a car crash at a certain speed?
Yes.
Do you know that slug picture? That's what this man looks like. That's what this man looks like.
My favourite part is the drawing.
Oh my God.
And just wait for his head. No, I don't know what the story was. Do you know the picture of him in the courtroom? Like, he was pure slumped. I don't know what that was.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And...
you see what I mean?
I'll show you his dad.
And
that's a clan head, if I ever did see it.
I was just about to say, if the clan fucking head fits, oh Jesus,
he would slide in so nicely into one of those little cones.
He fair looks like he'd be part of some fucking outrageous Netflix documentary. Like, he has one of them heads.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm just like creating this whole story in my head, like it's actually not anything. But he looks like a Chad dad who has an incel son that really, really fucking hates him. And then because of that goes off and murders a bunch of sorority girls. He has that face.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes. Maybe that's why he wasn't disturbed by the fact that his son was a fucking mass shooter. Because, like, he's a serial killer. Son is still disappointing him in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Why is your man slumped like fucking... Christ coming off the cross. I don't.
This is what I'm saying.
That's probably just him being pure, like, overcome or whatever. Tired.
Like, the fact that he can still walk shows that he didn't get enough of a kicking.
Yeah, facts. There was a trans woman, like, when your man was baiting him with the butt of his gun, a trans lady came over and was, like, stomping on him with her heels. And I just wish she'd stomped a little bit harder.
Good enough for her.
I saw a couple of things saying that she was a drag queen, but I saw another thing saying that no, she was actually trans. So, like, if I'm wrong, my bad. Either or, one of the two.
Mm. He was getting stomped.
He was getting stomped the fuck out
by a fabulous woman with a pair of fucking heels.
And I just wish she was, you know, stomping a little bit harder.
Just a bit.
More vicious with the heel instead of, like, you know, not the, what's the top part of your foot called?
The ball.
Yes.
Yeah, the ball.
Yeah. Don't stomp with that part. Sorry.
Yeah, but toes. Then if that had gone into his head, it would have been a whole thing.
Yeah. And in fairness, they're usually massive, so they are often platforms.
I mean, not necessarily his head, but you know, if you were to stand between, like, his finger joints with the heel and just give it an out.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that would have been really, really nice. You know?
Or a nice, like, just through the soft part of the cheek, just pop out a couple of teeth.
Yeah. Or if you catch, like, the fat of his arm, or the corner of your arm, and with a tight pinch, fuck, that would hurt. That would kill.
Just right at the very tip of the
sack.
Right where it just overlaps, so you can go right through it, like cracking a pair of eggs.
Oh my God, like that one scene? You know what scene? That you know what scene?
Of course I know what scene.
Popped like a fucking grape. Disgusting.
I still to this day wonder if that's what testicles actually look like if you pop them.
Same. For argument's sake, I'm going to say yes.
I'm just going with yes because I'm never going to find out unless I fully, completely snap. Although the listeners are probably going to think we already have given this conversation.
We're not watching some weird snuff film. Well, no. It's I Spit on Your Grave.
I mean, we are. It's just in our minds.
Oh yeah, and then we're all
we like
shit.
Severe justice. We like to at least imagine severe justice. But I guess at this point we've probably, I have no idea how long we've actually rambled on for.
20 minutes.
A full 18 minutes.
The first two are kind of a write off because of my fucking audio yet again.
Listen, it happens. It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, with a severe lack of justice, we move on and get it out of the fuck away. Part 3.
That was like a little jingle.
Cuiva looks severely unmotivated, so just let's dive in.
Okay, I mean, give me a heads up the next time. I was not ready for... Okay.
There was a whole long silence where you just blinked at me, so I wasn't sure, do I just kick this off or do you want to say some shit before?
I was just respecting her fucking craft. Sorry. Sorry, Savannah. You don't, Savannah, don't appreciate the fine arts. And that's just, that's fine.
You haven't got the ears for music, so you might as well.
I'm just uncultured, unfortunately. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those babies whose like mother played like classical music when they were unborn. I'm actually pretty sure that's true. I need to actually ask and double check, but I'm actually pretty sure, yeah. Anyways, yeah, so we're leaving off from where Savannah... By the way, Savannah, you said it was page 115. No, fucking wasn't. Because page 115 was the very last page of the actual book. I opened up and they were talking about Andrea Chikatilo or some shit.
Man, I fared actually like twice about this.
What? I was really confused. It doesn't matter, but FYI, I was very confused.
But so am I
now. Maybe it's because I got it on online. I was reading on Kindle.
Maybe?
Yeah no, Kindle probably.
Bastards.
Then the actual... Yeah. Anyways, I presume
I did,
you
I
found...
Really wanted... I had where all my notes on anyways. I just wanted to like run through the book to make sure I didn't, I had everything because I, and I actually didn't have everything. There was little bits that I added in from the book. So, okay. So it's May 1982 and there was a girl named Sue Luna. Very unusual name, Sue Luna. And mm-hmm. she was a young but experienced dancer who had been working in Anchorage for about 6 weeks. She was dancing to support herself and her daughter. So she moved to Anchorage because she'd kind of basically been, she followed like the promise basically of good wages. That like she was like, I'm good at dancing. I'll be able to make a load of money. I'll move up there where there's a lot of money. There's a load of creepy men. It's going to be ideal. I'm going to make a heap of money for me and my daughter, Elizabeth. So she'd been working all day and she just finished her shift. And this awkward man came up and he had a stutter and everything. So she was like, I mean, I actually don't mind a stutter, but I suppose it depends on the fella. But he was a bit odd. But when he came up to her, he said that he was a photographer. And, you know, unlike most men who approach dancers after their shift ends, like he wasn't like trying to solicit her for sex, basically. He was like, oh, any chance you like nude model for me? And she was like, what's in it for me? And he said he'd pay her $300. So she said, sounds good. So she agreed to meet him on Wednesday, May 26th at Alice's 210 restaurant, a local restaurant where she was a regular. So she knew like all the staff knew her to see, all that kind of stuff. And she rocked up wearing jeans, a sweater, heels and a white leather jacket that she'd just bought. The cook said that about halfway through her meal, so she was like, she came in, ordered food, sat down, was eating, and about halfway through her food she got up to go out and she met this man in the car park. She rushed back inside, paid and then left, and left her food unfinished, like didn't take it away with her, nothing, she just left. That was basically the last time anyone saw her, because her sister showed up the following day on the Thursday at this apartment complex called the Sleeping Lady. So the dancing agency, I guess, used to house all the dancers in this one place. So they, like, all the dancers lived in this one apartment complex. And Sue's sister, Bobby, showed up because they were going to spend a few days together, like, over the weekend, because Bobby and her husband were going to move them back to their home state. So they were like, we'll spend some time together before we go, blah, blah. So Sue's roommate said she hadn't seen her since the day before. And Bobby was like, okay, do you know, she kind of was like, maybe she's with friends, whatever. But by the time the 30th came, she knew something was wrong, so reported her missing. And I was like, that's a long time. But maybe it was in character for her to go missing. I feel like when people wait a few days like that, it must be in character. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was going to meet up with Anya, for example, and I didn't hear from her for a whole day, like her friends hadn't heard from her either, I'd be like, well, something's up. But I suppose, did people have phones back then? No. So you just had to wait, I suppose. Do you know?
Yeah.
Ew. My anxiety actually couldn't take that. I'm actually so sorry. I could not be waiting for one of you to show up and me standing there idle like a fucking sack.
And then you have to do it like that you'd be like, okay, you make plans in advance, like, hi Lizzie, do you know, we'll meet up on Thursday at this time. If I'm not there, you know, you'd kind of be like, if we're over an hour late, we go. If just something has obviously happened. I know, but you know what I mean? Like a half an hour or something, like something has gone kind of wrong. A half an hour is...
Oh no, I just mean in general to be waiting for anybody without any sort of fucking distraction and out for a long time.
You can't even play on your phone.
We know exactly how that feels though, because this is what living with Cuiva is like. Like the time that Cuiva fucking was, what, 5 hours late coming down on the train to Port Laoise and had no phone. It was 8 hours to Dublin.
It was 5 hours to Port Laoise.
Oh yes, that's right. So this literally, like, Cuiva could be dead for all we know.
I could have been. They actually could have been.
And we just, by luck and the grace of God,
I should have just tapped out. Like, I don't remember why I was so late. Like, something definitely happened.
No, you just got the wrong fucking train.
You overslept a lot. You overslept. And had to get a much later train.
Yeah. And then you had to wait for the train to come. Yeah. So you were waiting for ages, had to...
And then you got in the wrong... Like, you carried on too far, I think. You went all the way up
to the layer.
No, that was a different time. That was the time that I was going to your house, Lizzie. And then your mum... I had no phone yet again. And I was meant to be meeting ye at port, but I stayed too long on the train. So ye were looking at the times and were like, oh, she must be gone. She must be meeting us in Port Leash instead. She must be getting this train. So ye met me there and I got off and ye were there. So yeah, that was a different time. I remember that time.
Man, you and trains.
Either way, basically, I've bad luck with public transport and trains. And phones. All of it, a lot of it is like preventable, obviously, but yeah.
Listen.
Anyways. Long story short, you just had to wait around. So I suppose when something is kind of in character, you just kind of would wait, if that makes sense. So anyways, Bobby reported Sue missing.
Like,
and she postponed her moving plans. So she was supposed to be moving back to their home state, but she said she wasn't going to leave in Alaska until her sister had been found, which, very fair. Over the course of the next few months, a 19-year-old named Tamara, also known as Tammy Peterson, either or, she went missing as well. And she'd been scouted by Talents West at a dance competition in Seattle. So Talents West is the, you know, the dance like agency or whatever the fuck for Anchorage. And she was scouted in Seattle and had moved recently to Anchorage as well. And she was obviously a professional dancer anyways. So dancing for work was like the ideal job. Like, obviously it was like a little bit seedy, you know, like whatever, but she was just happy to be dancing for money. Regardless of where it was and what kind of dancing it was, if that makes sense.
Work your dream.
Exactly. She was just happy to be dancing. But when she got there, the actual reality of the situation was really disappointing. The housing was shit. She'd been promised, or, you know, the dancers in general were promised housing, travel and living expenses, and like that their costumes and stuff would be provided all for free. Until, in the fine print, the dancer started making money or tried to quit. Then they had to pay back everything, which was obviously nearly impossible because the agency was keeping so much, like a certain percentage of all their earnings. So yeah, it just made things really fucking difficult, basically. And she said she had said that the clubs also were not what she'd expected. So she was assigned to this one club called the Wild Cherry, but it was real creepy and ugly, and the customers were really intense and like aggressive, and like, you know, the exact thing we're talking about.
Grabbing exactly. Old fucking men.
And the book said that her boss would have to drop her home himself. So I presume that the customers were that fucking creepy and scary that they would lurk around. And if they kind of took a liking to a girl, that she'd actually need to be minded on the way home, kind of vibe. So
lovely.
Tammy fucking hated this, obviously. And she said that she'd wanted to move home. But her boss was not impressed with this. He got really pissy, really aggressive with her, and said that she was going to have to pay everything back. Was kind of threatening her, you know, with, how are you going to pay everything back? You're not going to be able to, blah, blah, blah. Tammy rang her mum, her mother's name was Judy, in the summer of 1982. And she was shocked. Her mother was shocked at the difference in her daughter. So, like, at the start, when she'd went, she was so happy and excited to have gone. She was really enjoying moving in, blah, blah, blah. But this time, Tammy was like a totally different person. She was upset. She was distraught that she'd broken up with her boyfriend. She'd nowhere to go, so she had to stay at the dancer housing. You know, that she was really isolated, like that her boss is a dickhead, blah, blah, blah. The men that she was working for were really creepy. Yeah, and then in August of that year, Judy tried to call Tammy again, but her number had been disconnected, and her mother rang, you know, her boss, the agents, everything, and nobody seemed to know anything. So obviously she rang the police, and there was a Sergeant Lyle Hogsvin. And he had been keeping track of all the missing dancers. And all he could really say to all these families was, you know, like, we're aware of it and we're doing our best. Like, there's nothing we can do because they're just vanishing. That they were still looking. Like, all he could do basically was say, we're still aware, we're still looking. But I have no answers for you right now.
Yeah.
So on September 12th of that year, two off-duty police officers made a discovery. So John Daly and Sergeant Rolly Post, which I thought was a fucking class name. It sounds like a cartoon character.
Rolly Post.
Like, Rolly was obviously what I presume is a nickname.
I presume it's like, yeah, like cute for Roland or something.
So they were out by the Nick River. Night was falling and they were out trying to see, could they catch. Oh my God. Fucking shoot, I guess. A bull moose. Because it was the last few days of the moose hunting season. And they just were like, we're going to make the fucking most of this. We're going to catch a big fucking massive one. It's going to be unreal. Yeah, they were walking around down by the river. And John noticed something in the snow. He said that there was like this mound under the snow, as if like, you know, the gravel and the ice and stuff had been like piled up underneath the snow, and then the snow had obviously fallen on top of it. So he was like, that's us. And the fact they were two police officers, they, I feel like when you've seen enough stuff, you get a feeling. Like, yeah, they were, yeah, like, that's weird. And he obviously had a bit of curiosity himself anyways, so they began like rooting. They went, they started digging around to see like what was there, and they soon basically just came across a boot and a woman's light blue jacket. And it's really gross, but they said that when they started moving the snow and moving the stuff around, like, there was just like a smell of death, basically.
Oh,
so
right,
they reported that, and the following day Rowley came back to the scene and made sure, fucking class man, made sure to take photos before the investigation began. He was like, I'm going to make sure that this is documented properly before people start rooting around.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the investigation began into the scene of the crime, basically, and skeleton remains of a blonde woman were discovered. There were ace bandages wrapped around her head to cover her eyes, and it was obvious that she had been murdered. When they say that, I'm like, what was done? If that makes, I don't know. If something is skeletal, you're kind of like, it must be really bad for it to be obvious.
Well, I guess, like, if there's bullet wounds in it, and probably maybe a good few of them, or even just a couple, like, that you can see there's bullet damage to the bones. Same with knife, like, stab wounds. You'll see the kind of chipping and scraping against the bones. And if there's still any flesh left, then obviously you'll see tearing in that as well, which you would know was like stab wound tearing, yeah, and not.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Decay, I guess.
No,
I presume,
yeah,
anyways.
Just like,
as no fucking expert.
It's just a bit grim, to be honest. But it's just such a nice name to call the policemen in wherever the fuck they are. Alaska, the troopers.
Yeah,
they
the
spent
troopers.
Ages.
It's not an abyssal.
Super trooper.
Super trooper, yes.
Fucking knew it.
So they spent ages sifting through all the snow and gravel like surrounding the body, and they managed to find a shell casing from a high powered rifle. It was a .223, if that means anything to anyone, just FYI. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, it's the rifle that I gave the full name of last episode that I also
that
can't
remember.
That
big fucking long one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the news that a body had been found reached Bobby, Sue's sister, and she was like, she had a bad feeling obviously about Sue's experience anyways, but she didn't want to tell her family that a body had been discovered because she didn't want to worry them for no reason unless she knew for a fact that it was her sister. She sent off Sue's dental records to the police, and it was found that it wasn't actually Sue, but it was actually Sherry Morrow that had been found. It's actually such a sin, but Sue's daughter Elizabeth, she constantly, for years after her mom went missing, she had nightmares constantly just about her missing mother. Like, I feel like it was, you know, one of those like, you know, the type of dream, really stressful ones.
Yeah.
So the following year, 1983, Robert started getting bored. He just wasn't getting like the same thrill off killing these women. It just wasn't as exciting for him. In February, he killed 26-year-old Angela Federn, who worked at the Murphy's Law topless bar. And she was funding a drug habit with her dancing, but needed more money. That, like, she wasn't getting enough from just her wages and tips and stuff. So Robert met her and told her he was a doctor, and managed to lure her out to Figure 8 Lake, where he killed her. And he buried her that deep in the snow by this river. I'm not going to try and say it. Sistina? Anyway, it doesn't fucking matter. Beside some river. But he buried her that deep that he was like, if I bury her deep enough, it's going to take ages. Like, it's going to take months for the snow to melt. And by the time it has, bears will have hopefully found her before people do.
Hmm.
Our woman named Teresa Watson was a half-blind masseuse. So masseuse in inverted commas, from the Foxy Lady massage parlor.
Did that say half-blind?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
In what sense? Like, blind in one eye? Or really, like, 50%
legally
vision
blind?
Legally, like, can't drive a car or operate
or she doesn't have
machinery.
An eye. She's missing
but
one
can
eye.
Walk down
I feel like it would have said one-eyed Teresa.
Oh, yeah. A one-eyed masseuse.
One-eyed Teresa.
You know what? I feel like they'd specify if she was missing an eye. Because that's like, obviously being half-blind is a disability.
Fair.
But, like, actually missing an eye is a big deal.
But I guess being a masseuse then is kind of, like, the perfect occupation for that, because you don't really need to see shit. Like,
yeah,
the shape is enough.
You just get the general vibe.
That's like, it's like a very handy.
You
yeah,
can do
exactly.
Like, by touch, like, you know where you
Hand,
need
no
to.
No pun
like,
intended.
Massage.
But you kind of do, like if you have to like pop collarbones and shit, like if you're doing Swedish martial arts, like even if it's a piece of one, you have to prop the arms in a certain.
Lizzie,
way to be
she's
able to
doing
see.
Happy massages.
Oh yeah, never mind.
There's only one part
like,
that
she's
needs
definitely
a good
doing
work.
Like a general like little woo woo on his back, and then it's. Flip over there now, love.
Yeah, of course. It's a whole experience. But, like, it's not. Like, it is in no way, like, oh, yeah, doc, I've got this knot in my shoulder. See,
Ignore me. Lizzie's going to the Foxy Lady massage parlor being like, my back is fucked. And she's like, why are you groping me?
Could I actually get a chiropractic realignment, please? And thank you. Anyways, okay. Yeah. So the half-blind
she went missing in March and he marked a grave by the scenic lake on his creepy fucking map.
So he's just loving the water these days. Since he fucked your one into the river, he has put them all near water.
Everything is... I noticed that as well. A lot of this is like by water features. Bodies of water.
Bodies of water. Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Why?
There's a few quotes I've added that came out of the book. And I just want to say that the author is a... It was a woman, wasn't it? I never actually looked at the... She's a bad bitch, the shit she says about this lady. She's a bad bitch.
Yeah. I will say I'm not overly fond of it as a source. It was very like...
She was almost... It's like she was almost on...
Yeah, the wording was really
Robert's
brutal.
Fucking side.
His side?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
You pale
wait
bitch.
Till you'll hear the quotes anyways and you'll see exactly what I meant. So, in April, he met a beautiful woman named Paula Golding. Okay? I forgot to add the word woman to there. I just said beautiful named Paula. He later spoke about her dancing and he was like marvelling. Like, he was creepy as fuck about her and how he just couldn't believe that she'd only been dancing for a week. And all this kind of shit. He was like, oh my god, she was amazing. And I quote from the book.
It's like the first time we saw Rihanna on the TV.
This author said, the pretty 30-year-old could have been a decent woman.
Could have been.
And also, pray tell, what the fuck makes you a decent woman? Tell me now and tell me quickly.
Mm. What constitutes a decent woman, I would like to know.
Not a dancer,
like,
apparently.
Why could she
because
have been a
she had been
woman?
A secretary in Fairbanks before she followed the promise of better pay to Anchorage. That was it. She just was like, I'll make more money.
Or she could have been a good woman... Because she tried to better herself by getting better money to be able to support like her in her life.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So,
like, if they said something like, could have been a decent woman by Robert's standards, then I'd be like, fine, that's completely fine. We're talking from the cunt's perspective. But this is her own perspective.
I really didn't like the way she phrased it.
No, this is, again, this is the fixation on the massive breasts.
It's giving pick me. It's giving pick me and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Wasn't overly fond of the author.
Yeah,
myself,
Paula's looks were enough to get her hired despite her lack of experience in dancing. So, like, obviously, she came from being a secretary and she was like, had obviously heard from whoever that pay was good in the clubs, dance, you know, if you were dancing.
And
she rocked up and she was good enough looking that they said, fuck it, fine. And she ended up actually being good at it.
Yeah.
So, Robert met her and obviously, like, he like latched onto her. And he used the promise of $300 to get her into his car. Ugh. He threatened her with a gun to her head to get her into his plane. And he used a rifle to keep her quiet as they flew to the Nick River. And I quote, when they landed, the foolish woman attacked him, so he shot her.
Foolish?
What the fuck are you talking about? He was going to kill her anyways. Like, and it's obvious that he was going to. Because he did that from jump.
It really
pissed me off. Because it's like, it's like the... fucking thing of like, well, that would never happen to me. I could change him. Like, he would never have killed me. Like, oh, she
yeah, if I was in the situation, I would do this. And
she should have gone along with him, and he wouldn't have. No. Like, he was obviously just looking for something, like, blah blah blah. What are you fucking talking about?
This woman would have called her fucking stupid if she didn't fight back as well.
Oh, she wanted it, so it doesn't count if she didn't fight back. I really didn't like it. It really pissed me off, actually. And the author, I actually think you're a bad bitch.
Called out.
What's her name? Genevieve Ortiz.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You're a cunt, Genevieve. Cunt.
See. You shouldn't be writing about the lives of victims if you're going to be literally that disrespectful about them.
So,
keep going for herself anyway.
Yeah, the lady attacked him because fucking obviously. And it was a really bad scene on Robert. Like, it was like, I actually felt really bad for him because she was like screaming really loud and like way too much that he wasn't able to actually enjoy himself. So, yeah, like it wasn't...
Oh.
Like, I thought
honestly,
it was...
the fucking cheek of her. Like, could she not
you've made things difficult for him. Like
he's flown you out on his plane.
Do you know, like, he was such a busy man. Like,
he's gone that extra
he was a really busy guy and he was just trying to relax. Like, he was killing women all the time, which keeps you really busy. He had to set up a bakery.
Of course.
Like, he really liked having his bakery and it was funded with money that he got through an insurance scam and that, like, you know, kept him going and stuff. But, like, he needed downtime and she was after interrupting that, you know? Like, exactly. All he wanted was a plane ride.
He's a busy man.
And a bit of murder. And, like, she had to, like, be really upset about it.
Just a bit of human.
Like, just go along with him. Like, he's not going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just murder. Like, it's not a big deal.
What are you doing trying to defend yourself, ruining his night?
Fucking stupid bitch of an author. God help her.
Very selfish.
Anyways, so despite all this excitement and blah, 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 the fun was wearing off. Like, it wasn't as exciting, it wasn't as new. Like, he'd killed so many people, it just wasn't as, you know, like, fresh. And
yeah, like when you have spaghetti too many times for dinner and you just can't look at it
exactly
anymore.
It's me roast chicken. Instead now,
sorry, you chimed in way too like serious on that one, like you really
I
meant
do.
It
roast chicken gives me headaches, the smell of it, because we had it so much as kids.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, the smell of it, honestly,
I feel the same about roast
vomit.
chicken.
I just don't, I
not to the point of headaches, but I'm literally that it'll like unsettle my stomach to the point where it's like, no thank you.
Yeah,
like I don't want any food if that's what we're no. having.
Yeah.
I love how all three of our mothers ruined Irish chicken. Roast chicken for us. Might as well be fucking Irish chicken. Every fucking mammy does a roast
well,
chicken on a Sunday.
My dad used to do most of the cooking.
Well, your dad's a mammy now.
Mammy Martin, so. Yeah.
Mammy Martin.
Yeah, so instead of like having like a really fun time, you know, like a rejuvenating like after work thing, like man was such an extrovert, like he just wanted to hang out with people. He instead was starting to feel like a bit anxious. So he was like super stressed because he was obviously like getting older and things. So he was just waiting for the day that he got caught. But he was also kind of afraid that a woman would eventually overpower him because...
Oh, I mean, we can't be having that.
He was a weedy little bitch anyway. God, no. Him. So he said that he wanted to settle down, you know. Not, you know, I know he already had a wife, but like that wasn't like the right kind of settling.
And two children.
Yeah, no, that was different though. That doesn't count. Okay. Like they don't count. They're NPCs. They were just like...
They're the game selected husband and wife
like
that you have
to have. They
were
more like the cosplay. Like, they were like a character. Like, you'd go home to be Robert Hansen to, you know, nearly cover his tracks. That, like, that's who I should be. That's how I who I would be if killing women wasn't,
yeah,
like, so
if
fun.
If I was Norman.
If killing women wasn't, like, super fun, that's the guy I would have been. But it's too fun. So I'm going to keep them as, like, a cover. But then I'm going to actually do what I want anyways. He was like, Daryl, it's fair to fuck in the way, right? He was like a child. He was like, I need a free house. So he was like, how about, you know, the way you always wanted to go and visit all these different places in Austria, how I have family in Denmark that like the kids might want to meet. How about you like go there for a while and like
go meet his family
without
in
him,
Denmark. Without
him. Yeah. I was writing these notes and I wrote
it's
down,
just
obviously.
He's met them before.
I wrote down like, oh, she had family in Denmark because I was like, obviously.
True.
Then I reread. No, it was his family. His family. So anyways, Robert finally, little Robbie finally had a free house. And he was like, oh my God, house parties. Time was fucking ripe.
Home Alone
right?
vibes.
This man put an ad in the Sunday singles column of the local paper.
No, he didn't.
No, yeah, he did.
In the tiny fucking town that he would be living.
Yeah, he did. Moron.
With his full name.
He put a picture.
Oh, he You know the way y'all know me and my wife. You know the way my wife's reverend had to stand for me in court. Yeah, I'm looking for singles.
So his ad was, and I quote, I wish I had the picture that he used, but I didn't. I actually didn't look for it, but I might see if I can find it. So Robert was, oh, he didn't actually put a name, but he put a picture. I suppose, I'm guessing like if someone shows interest in the ad, they're then provided with his picture maybe or something. And then he's provided with their response and picture. I doubt
right.
the picture was actually posted at Jump because his name wasn't posted.
I hope not.
So anyways, he was an adventurous male, 42, 5'11 and 165 pounds, looking for a lady proud to be a woman to share sincere, honest attachment. Must like to dance and enjoy social life, willing to put on jeans.
What?
What the fuck? Willing to put
that
on jeans.
That is the most weirdly specific thing I have ever heard.
Willing to
life.
Put on jeans. I've never in my life. Did women not wear pants back then? It was the 80s.
In the 80s, yes, they fucking
jeans
did.
Jeans were such a thing.
The 70s, the late 70s going into the 80s, my guy, it's bell bottoms
Everyone
all around.
Was wearing jeans.
What is
either
he on
that
about?
Or the like legging? Do you know what I mean? It's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you think about that 70s show, not that that's a fucking, or even Stranger Things, that's the 70s and they were all wearing jeans, all the mothers and everything.
Denim was so in the 70s,
especially
and 80s.
In Alaska,
all the way up to the 90s when the sin of double denim came in. Like,
I know double denim can look well now.
It can,
depending on the double denim,
depending on the person wearing.
I think you have to be a special kind of person to
exactly
it
depends
off,
on the person.
I disagree. I think you need the right denim and just the confidence and then you're fucking great.
But that's the right person. You can put a fucking, you Lizzie, you know for a fact that there are certain people that can pull off anything and it's because of the person.
Oh yeah, but they no. Yeah,
if
but,
you put me in double denim,
I'd
look
like
Billy Ray Cyrus and
I
not
can't.
In a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I'm telling you now, you could pull off a double denim.
Right.
I could not pull off a double denim.
You can prove me
wrong.
Prove
and
me
I'm
wrong.
Going to prove me fucking right.
Okay, do. Let's find some denim.
Okay, I will. When we come home, when we go to that trip up in Dublin, me, you, and the girls.
Yeah.
I am going to buy an outfit. I'm going to pick out an outfit for you. And it's going to be a double denim outfit, Caoimhe. And I tell you one thing fucking now. We'll be calling you Jolene.
But we're talking
bitch.
Specifically blue jeans. Like, not like a white denim jacket with a blue pair of denim. Like,
oh,
you know.
Girl, I know. But you best believe I know. You best believe I know.
Okay. Just no. Making sure. I'm just making sure the parameters are clear.
I am going to have you looking so well. You're going to think, oh.
I believe you. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I fucking did.
I'm looking forward to it.
Other people.
I can't wait to look like Billy Ray
Cyrus. You should be.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, yesify Billy.
Okay. I want my mullet back. Stop. It's not going to be that case, Caoimhe. It's going to be Jolene. Don't doubt me.
No, yeah, because there was this one guy who used to rock around Portlaoise and he wore double denim every single day. And when I say this was Billy Dole Cyrus, like...
It Billy Joel Cyrus!
Person to look at.
Billy Dole.
Billy Joel. Did you make that Billy up Dole, on the spot? It was so...
Did
it
you
was
just
upsetting,
make that up?
Like,
on the fly?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Savannah. You actually need to start writing shit down. I've never heard anything like that before.
That was funny. That's one of those nicknames. So they're like really fucking obscure. You're like, how the fuck did you get that? Oh, well, your mind's going to come down.
But literally, I guarantee you, if I went back to Portlaoise this, like, and stood inside GameStop at some point, I would see Billy Dole Cyrus walk by. Like,
do you know what? If there's one thing Irish people are good at, it's being disrespectful and coming up with good nicknames. I googled Irish, like, nicknames. I swear to God, these are hilarious.
Oh, please.
There was a fella in my town who gets called Spider because he went shopping one day and bought 4 pairs of jeans. Family down the road have been known as the Yanks for nearly 40 years because they went to Florida for a week in the 80s.
The Yanks.
There's a taxi man in Balladreen called Abdul and the locals have nicknamed Abdul Awalia. Abdul Awalia. I don't get that one. I feel like I'm bad at Irish.
Going home. A Dolawalia.
Oh, I get it now. My dad and mate in Port, in Dublin Port, they all called him Diesel because every time there's something lying around, he'd rob it. Man was a kleptomaniac and his words were Diesel do for the wife, won't they? Or Diesel do for the kids.
Diesel do.
Oh. I know a fella from Tala called Biba because he got knocked down by an ambulance.
Oh my god, I had a sip of water in my bed.
I'm fucking howling, these are amazing.
Okay, no, we need to rail this the fuck back in, lads. Because we fair went on the best tangent ever. Oh,
I know a fella Tip who got the name of Westlife after he wore a polo neck and a night out in the noughties. Oh, these are amazing.
Oh, man.
One of the lads called Eric had a third nipple, so the boys called him Triples. A fella I knew with a stutter called him Remix.
Well, that's a bad
thing. I'm telling you, lads, Irish nicknames are fucking quality. Every time.
So are we just referring to Robert Hansen as Remix for the rest of this series?
Yeah.
Robert Remix Hansen. Right. Where the fuck was I? That was hilarious. Oh my god. Okay, yeah, she's willing to put on jeans.
I'm after laughing so much.
Oh yes, right, that's how we got into this fucking conversation.
Man called Spider because he bought 4 pairs of jeans. That shows fucking quality. I don't know. So yeah, willing to put on jeans. Join me in finding what's around the next bend, over the next hill.
Okay, fucking Pocahontas.
Bye, Pocahontas.
What's over the river bend? Jesus fucking Christ.
Just around the river bend. Enjoy flying on plane. Beach. That's a humble brag. It's not even a humble brag. It's like just a brag. Enjoy flying on plane. Like, yeah. I'm a pilot and I have my own plane. Beachcombing.
And you must enjoy flying your own plane, which implies that this bitch has access to her own plane.
No, as in, that's him describing himself.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
I know, his grammar is not good. I actually see exactly what you meant.
Yeah, I thought that was like part of his requirements of like must fit into jeans and enjoy flying own plane.
Yeah, no.
Wait, does he mean they must fit into jeans as in he can't have somebody that won't fit into them?
No, I think she just
willing
has to
put
like
on
want
jeans,
to wear them.
In, like, I don't know. Does that mean like... Was there like a subcategory of women who were like jeans are like not allowed because they're too casual? Which is a possibility, well, especially back in the 80s that maybe they were seen as
being... How religious was Anchorage, yeah. Because usually religion has something to do with that. Where it's like ladies have to wear skirts.
Yeah, maybe. But it's fucking Anchorage though, it's Baltic. Who's wearing a skirt in fucking Alaska?
I feel like Anchorage feels kind of like...
Very true.
The Wild West. but of the like colder maybe region.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's like who the fuck is wearing jeans in Anchorage? Maybe they're all wearing like the fucking snowsuit stuff, basically.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It just doesn't. Maybe that's anyone why. From fucking America/Alaska, can you is there any?
Let us know.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Fill us in on the jeans sitch. So, we want to know. We're fixating.
Beachcombing, fishing, camping. Life is much fuller if shared. Send recent photo. So he dropped in the ad into the paper with a photo of himself and paid the fee with money he had dipped out of the till on the same day his wife had left for Europe. So he went in. Okay, I found a photo. Like, I've looked it up and there is a photo here, but I'm not sure if it's the exact photo that he used. Like, it hasn't. But I think that's the photo. I could be wrong now, but that's the photo that's come up when I've looked it up.
Why does he low-key look like Alan from 2.5 Men in that picture?
Sorry, why the fuck does he look like Ed Gein in that picture? What are you talking about?
He does, but if he had like Ed Gein, Alan from 2.5 Men playing Ed Gein.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it's the glasses and the hat and it's the outfit that's very Gein-esque, no. But the face and the like that weird mouth is just very
he
Alan.
He does look like Ed, though. Yeah, but
Do you know what as well?
He does.
Because he has a stutter and then with fucking saggy baggy eye, do you know what? They actually would make a great pair of siblings.
Honestly, conspiracy theory that Ed Gein is Robert Hansen's dad.
Yeah,
I think that's the photo here for it, but I'm not 100%.
Another cesspool fact.
Not a great photo, Robert. That was a wrong decision.
Is there a great photo of Robert fucking fuckface Hansen?
He could have tried. He had the house to himself considering he convinced his missus to go fucking see his family. Plenty of time.
There was no face tune back then.
He's not like an ugly fella, though. Variety. He's no excuse. Like, he's not an ugly man.
But I mean, apparently he had the singular worst skin.
Ew, what does that mean?
Like, he was riddled with like cystic acne when he was a teenager.
Yeah, but everyone
so
is.
Left all of the holes. No, but like, bad. Like you know back then when you didn't have like the shit to sort it out, so it left actual craters in their faces.
I don't know, like, to be honest, like,
we've come a long way.
It sounds bad, but on a man, it's
that's
not
every
like,
description
noticeable.
I had
like,
of him
it
anyway.
Is noticeable, but like, he's not bad looking.
Yeah, no. He has got that clarity.
Maybe this is a stance
like
I didn't
thing.
Take. Think you take?
No, I'm not saying he's good looking or anything, but I definitely don't think he's bad looking. Wait, look, I can send a picture.
But he's not an ogre.
No, he's not. Like, his skin isn't. Like, I can see in this photo.
Okay, no, I guess they're just kind of acting it up then in the descriptions of him. Because, like, every description I had was that he was, like, a pizza face.
Like, the colour photo I've just sent in, like, you can see that there is on his cheeks, like, marks. But, like, I've seen them on people
that,
like,
I literally
nowadays,
just had that one open.
Personally, I don't really notice them. I feel like once you're used to looking at
no,
them.
No, I've definitely seen worse anyways.
Do you know, like, I don't.
All right, the descriptions were very overdramatic.
He's just a normal fella. And I feel like if he was sound, you'd be like, yeah, he's grand looking. Like, he's good looking. If he was, like, funny and nice, you'd be like, you'd show him to your friends and they'd be like, yeah, sure.
Like, lads, my neighbour Robert is a fucking hound. He'd love him.
Yeah, like, if he was sound to go crack, like, and he's 5'11", so he's not small either, like, he'd be kind of like, oh.
Yeah, but, like, when he was younger, there's, like, one of him posing with fucking antlers. And he does have a bit of, like, a Buddy Holly vibe.
That's the one
on
I sent
in
the black and white one, the second one that I sent in. Mm-hmm. It's just the antlers are cropped out.
Yeah. Yeah, I just see it there now. There I could see it, maybe. But then, like, I don't know, he just gives me the fucking...
He does, no, you can tell that he's a creepy, scary man, but I'm just saying that, like...
Yeah.
I can't even remember what my point was or why I was talking about this, but... Oh, it was about the picture. Yeah, like, if I saw that description and that picture, I'd be kind of like, I mean, yeah, sure. The jeans thing, I'd be like, what the fuck? But aside from that, I wouldn't be like, no. Until, obviously, he tried to kill me.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, yeah. That's a game changer, obviously.
And a bit late, I might argue, at that point, unfortunately.
No, but see, I wouldn't be, like, foolish about it like the other ladies. Like, I wouldn't try and fight him. Like, I would just convince him to be in love with me.
Yeah. You trick him, Quiva. You'd give him Stockholm Syndrome. Not the other way around.
I would.
Yeah, you would. You'd be successful. You'd go the route of Barbara. I could see you swinging him. I feel like Lizzie would fight. And I feel like I would just dissociate to the point of complacency that I would just lie there and let it happen. Be like, listen, you're not getting a reaction out of me. Like,
I have a bit of a God complex when it comes to that. I feel like I'd be like, lad, come on. Like, there's no need for that.
Less of it now.
Come on.
Robert, will you stop it? For fuck's sake.
Get in there and get in the car. Say please. I actually will, because it comes out of me automatically.
Up, fuck your manners.
It comes out of me automatically. Say please.
You were just born to be a grandmother.
Oh, I'm very bad.
Putting manners on people.
Like that bitch in fucking Dubai. She tried to push past me. Manny. Remember fucking Bucket Hat bitch? What was her name? Who the fuck she was? She tried to push past me.
Oh, do you remember?
She shoved me so hard. And she pushed, but it, like, she pushed me into a man in front of me, and the two of us turned around to her being like, what the fuck? And I was like, say excuse me. And she was like, I'm trying to get to my friends, like, we want to do the fan chance together. And I was like, so then just ask.
Not a good enough reason to not say.
And she was
me.
Like, oh, sorry, can I go over to my friends? I was like, yeah, of course. Me with Robert Hansen, like, fucking so Robert Remix like, Hansen. I'm like, say please. Like, excuse me.
Tell immediately you're one for, like, such a silly bitch. Like, you could tell, like, she visibly, like, shrank. Like a little fucking shrinking violet. She was like, I want to go fan or have fan time with my friends too. Can I please go see my
I'm
friends?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can be very stern.
I'm sorry, I upset you.
I'm very stern sometimes, really, and I don't mean to be.
No, but like, it wasn't a stern. You were like, yeah, just ask. Like, you were just saying it as in like a...
No, I rounded around the first time. And I was like, yeah, just say please. Say excuse me then. And she was like, can I please? And I was like, yeah, no bother. Like, it's not hard to not be a fucking rude bitch, like, at Robert. Robert, put the gun away, because you're going to accidentally press the trigger and then we're both getting shot, and I'm not actually having it now today. I've had a long enough fucking evening. No, I'm lying. I definitely would be killed immediately. They just wouldn't have the patience for me.
No, he would kill you, like, straightforward, because he doesn't like being told what to do, so scolding him is not the way to deal with Robert Hansen, but it would be fucking hilarious to watch.
Have you ever heard of K-pop, Robert? I have an old song. Can I put on a song, please? Go on. You'll like it, I swear.
Chalk it down, Rob. You're going to love this.
No, because it'd be me and Lizzie, and I'd be like, man, I feel like he's a Jimin man. And she'd be like, nah. Anyways, besides the fucking point. Right, he threw his ad out into the papers, okay? And it ran from the 8th to the 15th of May, and he got about 30 responses, okay? So he was feeling fucking fresh AF. He was like, class. Yeah, like, he was expecting his manny, you know? And he kind of, you know what I was saying, that like the women respond, so they kind of will send back their own description and photo or whatever. So he went on a few dates with a few that he found interesting, and said afterwards that he hadn't met one of them who just wasn't one heck of a nice person. That was a bad accent.
Robert, shut the fuck up.
Just wasn't one heck of a nice person. So anyways, he went on a few dates, and in that June he met Karen O'Leary. I'm not sure. It didn't actually say, like, was she, like, did she...
Through the Lonely
Hearts. Yeah, I'm presuming not. It didn't specify, but yeah, he went on a few dates with her, and randomly enough, she actually worked for the state troopers. So whether or not that means that she was a state trooper, she was like a secretary or something, but she worked for the state troopers.
I don't think, were women allowed to be state troopers?
That's what I'm wondering, but like...
Well, we had the one female detective, so I presume like, begrudgingly, yes, if they were good enough.
Yeah, the sexism does be coming into it later, I'll show you. Anyways, so on the 8th of June, they were like, let's go celebrate Karen's birthday. So they went for dinner, and after dinner they went back to his, because, you know, he had the free house, sure, because your one and the kids were abroad in fucking Austria or wherever the fuck they were at this stage. The first thing Karen noticed was the family poodle was fucking terrified of Robert. Like, the sight of him sent this dog into a panic.
No.
And it immediately just hid, and she never saw it again. She saw it that first time when it saw Robert and panicked as he was leading her through the house, and then she didn't see it for the rest of the night.
A bad sign.
Robert was like, obviously now we're not gonna hang out in like the boring sitting room. We're gonna go down to the basement where all like my cool stuff is. So they went down to the basement.
You wanna come see my man?
Fucking every wall, all the four walls were decorated with his hunting trophies, like all his like taxidermied heads and shit were like stuck to the walls.
Ew.
You know, there was a bearskin rug on the floor, just, you know, dead there. And he went on, and he was like talking about his hunting stuff, and he was bragging about his bow hunting fucking records that he had set, you know, that he was like a super cool guy, you know.
Yes, very good you.
And then he put on some music, and they were in the middle of the room, and they were dancing together for a while until they got tired, and then they sat on the couch and they were like shifting, making out for a while. And then Robert Remix got a little bit, you know, excited, got a little bit, you know, het up, and proposed that they go upstairs and do bits that they, you know, see, could he get the ride off her, basically. And she said no, that she wasn't ready, that she, you know, basically she was saying, I don't know you, I'm not riding you, basically. And then he asked, well, how about like right there, see the bear rug, how about we ride on that there, you know, on the dead bear that I killed and skinned and put in the middle of the floor, how about we ride on that?
Like, the bedroom was the problem. That's why she was saying no. The bearskin rug is going to make it 10 times more romantic.
And she obviously was like, extra no. Obviously, if she had been a sex worker, he probably would have just fucking killed her at this stage. But she was like a person.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
So he actually just was like, okay, fine, no bother. And they just watched television until she went home. They actually dated for a little bit, but it ended amicably, I suppose. They just weren't like clicking or whatever. And
she wouldn't give him the ride.
Yeah, like, I think it was like a mutual thing that maybe she wasn't like getting along with him as well. well. Like, you know, they just weren't, it was the, like, there was no spark. And it was a long time before she found out, like, what he actually was capable of. Because she obviously thought he was grand. Because, I mean, he tried to kind of persuade her into having sex, but he took the no fairly graciously, like, you know.
Yeah.
Which is not unusual, but it's less common. Like, some, like, men are more, a lot of men are a lot very likely to get pissy, especially when you're on kind of the first couple of dates. And you're back at their house, like, you know, I can see where she was coming from to be like, yeah, he's grand. But anyway, obviously she found out afterwards that he was actually a fucking lunatic. But see, the difference was that she was a person, so it was fine. So anyways, on the 14th of June, 1983, a call came in to at 6 a.m., just before 6 a.m. into the police, saying that a white female adult had been picked up by our complainant and taken to Mush Inn. Female is said to be handcuffed, has medium brown hair, wearing a purple jacket, Levi's and no shoes. So Officer Glenn Baker and a rookie that was working with him, Wayne Vance, they overheard this. You know, I presume, like, it's the same in, like, the cop shows and shit, that it goes across out onto all the walkie-talkies. And it's just a case of who's close. Like, right, oh, we'll take this call or whatever. Mm. So they went to the inn, the Mush Inn, but the woman had since taken a cab to another inn. You know, they followed the directions because the secretary had called the cab for her, you know, etc. So the secretary knew where she'd gone. So they went to the second inn, found her and undid her handcuffs. So Cindy Paulson had been downtown in Anchorage on the 13th working on the streets when a car drove by and stopped. So she recognised the driver as a man who had made an appointment the previous day but hadn't shown up. So she was like, oh, fucking dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
But he pulled up and ended up talking to her. And he said that he would pay $200 for a blowjob. So she was like, grand. She was immediately suspicious because of the amount. She was like, there's definitely something else to this. Like, there's no way someone's going to pay $200 for a fucking blowjob when I feel like, what's the, I feel like $50 is probably like standard.
I think, yeah, usually. I feel
like $50 is a grand amount for a blowjob. Like, $200 is a little steep. And for him to be offering it off the bat, she was like, there's something else. Do you know that kind of way? It's kind of gross. But they pulled into a car park and she got to work, basically. And just as they were like rounding up, we'll say, pulled her back by the neck and put a gun into her face. And he was like,
God,
you're coming back to my house and you need to behave properly. And he was like, I've, you know, brought home loads of women like this and like they were all fine. They were all like, oh, if, because they behaved properly. Going out in her face, he was telling her that he wasn't going to hurt her. Who's going to believe
I'd
that?
I'd bite it off. Real. I'm telling you now, I would drop back down. I would bite it fucking off. I'd be like, shoot me now, dickless. Shoot me now.
I'd swallow it and all. Yeah. Now fucking, you can't reattach it now, can you? Bastard. I'd be like the fucking Bush Tucker trials inside in that car. I swear to God.
Or like, kill me. You're caught either way because your dick is physically in my stomach.
Bastard. She got dragged down into his basement and first thing she noticed was the creepy fucking head stuck to the wall of all the animals that he'd killed in the past. So she was like, that's morbid as fuck. I'm here in this man's house. He has a gun out and he has all these animal people stuck to the wall. I know they're not people, but you know what I mean. Animal like, individuals. That he is beheaded, shot, beheaded and stuffed and stuck to the wall. Like, in my head, it's not the same thing, but it's like a, that's going to be done to you kind of vibe. It's like a threat. In my head, that's a threat.
He's going to be mounting your head.
Yeah.
Fucking, ew.
That's what I, if I saw that, if you got dragged into someone's basement and they had heads all over the wall, I know they're of animals, you would be like, oh, this is really bad. Versus if it was like just a sitting room.
My son is going to be turned into a rug.
Yeah, you're like, he's going to egg in me.
And known full well that they're hunting trophies. Like, this is an animal you killed yourself. Exactly. It's not just like you bought this on eBay.
Exactly. And this part makes it creepier because he handcuffed her and tied a chain to her neck that he then attached the chain to a pillar by the wall. And he left enough length in the chain that he could drag her over to the bear skin so she could lie on the bear skin where he raped her. And I feel like the whole time he was definitely, because after, especially after with Karen O'Leary asking her would she sleep with him on the bear skin rug as well, I feel like he was definitely like thinking about killing it while he was doing, well, you know what I mean, like there's a weird undercurrent there that I'm like, that was intentional, like there was a couch,
he got something extra from that,
do you know what I mean? There's a couch there, like there's beds in the house, there's whatever the fuck you want, why the bear skin rug? I don't know. He raped her and it was like obviously fucking horrible, and she said that she couldn't tell, she felt like it went on for hours. I don't know if it's too much information, but I suppose I might as well just give all of it, that it wasn't just like, it was both ways that he raped her, like it was vaginally and anally.
Right,
he's saying it, but I feel like just for the fucking just for the sake of giving all the he got up then, right? This man makes the opposite of sense to me. He got up instead of bringing her to a toilet or something or a bringing her something, or like a bucket, he found a towel, put it under her for her to pee on, and then turned on the telly and lied down on the, to sleep on the couch behind her. He put down a puppy pad under her, basically.
What the fuck?
When he really, really and truly could have just brought her to a toilet. Like, nobody needs to pee that much.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I thought it was so fucking weird. I was like, just bring her to a toilet. Like, she's in handcuffs.
I feel like also that the amount of piss compared to a towel's absorbency is not relevant. Like,
yeah.
That's not adding up. It's not going to work. Not. Like,
even put a fucking you're bucket.
Reckon, right? Now, this could be just like me going like, you know, and just like making assumptions out and on. But you know the way you literally just said it was like a puppy pad there a second ago. What about if he's seeing these women actually as like animals? You know what I mean? Like, he's hunting them down like wild animals and now he's treating them like they were like a fucking dog. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we pretty much did confirm that is how he sees them. So
no, but it
that's yeah, you're probably yeah. fucking right. That's probably why he did it. Literally like a pup, like literally like a puppy pet.
So yeah, she was still like lying on the ground. He got up and lied down and slept on the couch behind her. Which yet again, I'm like, why when he brought Karen over to the house was he like the options are the bed upstairs or the bearskin rug when there's a couch right there? So she was obviously still awake. She was tied up and chained up, and she was looking around. Could she see any weapons? And she noticed like there was a pool cue up against the wall. There was all these different things, but she was just like, if I fuck up, I'm dead. And she was like, I'm not going to get it right with how tied up I am, if that makes sense. She was like, if I move, he's going to hear the chains, like my hands are handcuffed, like it's just not going to work. So she had to wait until he woke up. So he woke, unchained her, and told her that he was going to fly her out to his cabin, put her in the backseat of his car, threw a blanket over her, and said, I'm going to treat you special.
Yeah.
Can't wait. He's just so disgusting, and like, it's so hard to even imagine being one of the women. Like,
yeah.
You actually can't imagine. I actually feel like I'd die. I feel like I would just drop dead. Like, I feel like I would just kill out.
Kill, yeah. Truly, honestly, like, body would know about before he got a chance to kill you.
So yeah, they got to the airport, you know, obviously they were going to his plane, whatever, and he got out and he was doing whatever the fuck he needed to do. But he left the driver's door open, and Cindy took her chance. She was like, this is my only chance. And she's like, I need to take it. So she sprang out between the seats, out the front door, and ran. He ran after her, screaming, roaring, being like, I'm going to fucking catch you, blah, blah, blah. And she saw a truck driving towards her. You know, like, I presume when they say truck, Americans say truck, they mean like a 4x4, kind of like not an actual truck. So she was running, she started screaming.
Oh, this is Alaska. So I was imagining like a big fucking like Arctic lorry.
I mean, maybe it is, but I'm picturing like when Americans say truck, they're talking about like a 4x4.
Like a pickup, like.
Fair. Pick up. No, I was just thinking like ice road truckers, you know?
Yeah. So, to be honest, true, actually. Fair. I could have gone that way as well in my head. So anyways, the driver saw her coming, pulled over, let her in. His name was Robert Yount, and she'd asked him to drop her to the Mush Inn, or to the, not the Mush Inn, the Big Timber Motel. But he was like, girl, you fair kind of need to go to the police station. Like, but she just couldn't bring herself to do it. Like, she was like, I've been through so much. The thought of going and talking to fucking police now as a sex worker. You know what I mean? She knew that it was going to be a fucking holy show of a mess. And she just didn't want to do it to herself, especially after being through something so traumatic. Like, she'd only just gotten away.
Yeah.
She instead had him drop her at the Mush Inn Motel, where she called her pimp and took a taxi. Like, she obviously filled him in, being like, this is what the fuck just happened to me. And took a taxi to the Big Timber Motel. And it was the clerk at the Mush Inn who called the police, because obviously Robert Yount went in with her and was like, told her what happened. She was obviously, Cindy was obviously fucking distraught, was like panicked, you know, as you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And was like running around in fucking handcuffs. So police officers rocked up and they were speaking to Cindy. They, you know, they undid her handcuffs and everything, like I said at the start. They were talking to Cindy about what had gone on, and she was like, I'm just afraid that he's going to reoffend. One of the officers told her that, like, they needed to catch him, and they would, you know, they'd do their best to catch him, but they needed her help. They needed her to cooperate with the investigation. In the meantime, Robert had gone home. So he went home and he deep cleaned the fucking house. He deep cleaned the basement, reorganized the furniture, the piss towel into the wash, like, just made sure that there was no evidence left. After the police officers, sorry, I'm going back and forth, but this all kind of happened like staggered. After the police collected Cindy from the motel, they were going to bring her to the hospital because they were going to do a rape kit on her. They stopped into the airport on the way, and she identified Robert Hansen's plane. So they were like, they traced this back to him. They were like, okay, so it's him. In the meantime, Robert was like, I need to sort out an alibi. So he cleaned all the basement and everything, but he was like, she's gonna know that it was me. She's gonna, like, she has, like, she knows where I live. She knows, like, the airplane, everything.
Yeah.
So he rang his neighbor, John Henning, and very fucking vaguely told him that he was in trouble. Poor John had been asleep because it was like 6 o'clock in the fucking morning, and he had no fucking notion. Exactly. He had a notion what the fuck was going on, but he met him at the bakery that Robert had set up in the early hours of the 14th. Robert told John, that a sex worker was trying to grift him and he needed someone to back him up if she came back at him, that she was going to try and get him into trouble. And they worked out the details of breakfast in a nearby cafe. So the plan was that Robert was supposed to be at John Sumrall's, so another John, another friend, fixing a plane seat from midnight to dawn. So obviously it couldn't be him, right? So they rang John Sumrall and they were like, this is the story. So the two Johns were in on this. They were like, we're going to protect Robert from this fucking bitch of a woman who's going to try and get him in trouble because she's only a fucking sex worker. Blah, blah. Ugh. Robert got home.
Even though they're the ones that are fucking paying for it, but yeah, degrade her.
Exactly.
Don't look for a sergeant and then degrade the women that provided for you. So fuck you.
Robert got home and, as he expected, the cops were waiting for him. Did an interrogation, all that, and he signed a waiver saying that, you know, they could search the house. And they went. The house was as Cindy described. So, you know, like the layout of the house was the same as they had described, Cindy had described, but there was nothing found that would back up her story. So there was no chains, you know, like the towel was gone. Yeah. Everything, you know, nothing that she had said that was like actually backing up her story was there. And the detective rang both the Johns and both of them backed up Rob's story. Cindy, in the meantime, refused a lie detector test, which made her look fucking shady.
Cindy.
So Officer Greg Baker, so the officer, one of the officers that had showed up when the call had come in, he was shocked by all of this because he believed Cindy and he was really on her side. He was like, she's telling the truth. Like, it was definitely him. She's not lying about this. He just knew. He was like, the way she was at the motel when we rocked up, he was like, she's not lying. Like, it was definitely, it's him.
Yeah.
But there was nothing he could do, really, until more evidence was found. So in September 1983, another woman's body was discovered in a shallow grave by the Nick River. She was wearing jeans, a striped sweater and tan boots. And they found a shell case near the body, and it was the same caliber as Sherry Morrow's, as the, you know, the shell that had been used on Sherry Morrow.
Yeah.
And it was the .223 again, for anyone who knows what the fuck that means. So these were sent off to the FBI to see where they fired from the same weapon. So do you remember when I was saying that there was a Sergeant Lyle Hogsven, the guy who'd been keeping track of the missing dancers? He was talking to, was it Tammy's mom? He went on leave. And Sergeant Glenn Floth took over. So Glenn was good at his job. And I, did you know how rare it is to say that? But he was fucking good at his job. These men, and I, they actually seem to be putting in effort. Like, Glenn and, what the fuck was the other man's name? Greg. Glyle was actually good as well. Like, they actually, they were invested in the story. Like, they wanted to do their job properly, which is fucking rare.
Yeah. So, yeah, not, you know, like the rest of them.
So, Glenn was good at his job. He had been meaning and planning to be a teacher for years, but then within 8 months of suddenly joining the law enforcement, like, he joined law enforcement, like, on a whim. He, within 8 months, was a criminal investigator.
Oh, shit. Jesus. Yeah.
You're fine, I'll just keep going and you can just be listening. So, before taking on the case, on like the case of all these missing women, he had been investigating 17 murders that year and had solved all but one by that September that he took on this case. Which is fucking impressive.
That is Jesus, like, all but one. I bet that
one. Yeah, he was solving 17 murders and he'd solved all but one. He was handed all of Lyle's work. So everything that, all the evidence that Lyle had collected over the years, he was handed. And also, Detective Maxine Farrell had been forbidden to work alone, so she gave him all of her work as well. Which, that was the sexism I was talking about. I was like, why is this man able to work alone, but she, a Detective Maxine, can't? Sus.
Yeah.
But fucking anyways, whatever. Glenn, when he looked at all this evidence that had been collected, he knew then there was a serial killer and he knew that it was Robert, but he didn't have proof. He contacted the Behavioral Science Division of the FBI in Virginia and got in contact with Roy Hazelwood, who inspired the Mindhunter series and was a profiler who worked for the FBI.
Love him.
Yeah. So he basically came up with the concept of organized or disorganized murderers. So disorganized tended to be like troubled, uneducated, like really just odd in social situations, had weird like sexual deviances, like necrophilia and like, what was the other one, zoophilia and stuff like that. And they often had delusions and were like real unsophisticated in the way they committed their crimes. Like, they were just messy versus organized, were cunning, blended in better, live second lives. So obviously Robert is organized. As soon as, like, so Glenn got in contact with Roy and described all these crimes, you know, described the scenes of the bodies, the way, you know, what had been done to them, etc., etc. And Roy had Robert pinned in fucking minutes. So he knew, and he called it. He was like, Robert is probably an avid hunter. He said he's probably into guns, hunting, and being an outdoorsman. And he asked, was Robert married? He said that since he was, she was definitely, most likely, a religious woman who was clueless to everything that was going on. He was probably respected in the community and maybe spot had on. A successful business.
Mostly spot on. I don't, did Darla work? I can't remember if Darla worked.
No, he was probably respected and had a successful business. No,
in fact,
so basically she was, he said that she was going to be religious and had no idea, and he was going to be kind of a pillar of the community kind of vibe. Glenn going off this was like, I know it's him. So he was like, I need to get more fucking evidence. So he collected previous criminal and psychiatric records. In October, he met up with Christine Hayes, who Robert had assaulted in 1980, and her story matched fairly well with descriptions of what Cindy had said. He met with Robert Yount, who had rescued Cindy in his truck, and the clerk at the inn. Another detail, and this is basically what fucking was Robert's downfall, was that Robert had reported a burglary in 1982. Okay, he said that his hunting trophies, so all his taxidermies, like all the heads that he had been taken, stolen in this burglary. And because of this, he got a decent insurance payout. Mm-hmm. When they saw this, Glenn was like, that's a fucking lie. I've been in the house. All the shit is still on the wall. So he's like, I saw all of it. Yeah. He's like, that's a fucking lie. He saw then that he had used this money to set up the bakery. So he was like, this is fucking class. This is the best thing that's happened. He was like, I can use this to get a search warrant. So he reported the possible fraud, applied for a search warrant using this as the reason, and rocked up to the house. Daryl and the kids were home. So the police were searching the house. The kids were screaming, roaring, crying, etc., etc. You know, the usual. They found nothing. They searched the whole house, top to bottom. Until an officer actually realised, we haven't actually searched the top to bottom because we haven't checked the attic. So he said, we must have a look.
I wonder.
And in the insulation that apparently was pink, which I thought was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. What colour do you know insulation as?
The insulation, like the fiberglass, is yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up in the attic. It's pink. No, it's very pink.
I've only ever seen it be yellow.
We have cotton candy pink. Like, it's so pink.
Oh my
pink.
God, no way.
Like, it's literally like the forbidden candy floss. Kiva, when you're over in my house, I'll bring you up to the attic.
You can come and see mine. Mine is yellow.
Like, sorry, we're actually comparing fiberglass insulation.
No, mine is yellow.
Why is our insulation different? No, yeah, pink.
I've never seen it be pink. Mine has always been yellow.
That's actually, now that I'm saying it, I think I have a bit of a hybrid. I think there's pink and there's cream in my house.
I sent a picture there.
I feel like I've seen yellow insulation, but the more common one I've ever seen is pink.
I've just sent it there, a picture.
Anyways, insulation aside, so the insulation was pink. Why are we talking about
the attic? That it was pink.
We're looking for evidence in the attic.
They found, so they went for a route, and they found a golden arrowhead necklace, a custom-made fish charm, and a map covered in small X marks. Mm. So, do you remember the two Johns that were covering up Rob?
Yes.
The first John, John Hennings' wife, arrived over to the Hanson house, because they were neighbours, and she'd gotten a call saying that a mutual friend was looking for Robert because he was supposed to be fixing Robert's car or something like this, and he couldn't get a hold of Rob, and he was like, will you go over and see is he there or see where he is, because he's not answering the house phone. So John Henning's wife Joanne arrived over to the house, saw all the police there, so she was like, what's going on? Obviously breaking fucking protocol, she was filled in. John had told her what Rob's story was, so she knew that Rob was hiring sex workers and stuff, and was having affairs and shit, like cheating on Darla, and was covering for Rob as well. But when she heard this story, she copped. She realised what John had actually helped cover up, and called John. So she called John, and he finally came clean. The police at this stage were having a look at the map, and Glenn realised that the marks on the map, some of them were the same as where like the bodies had been found. Like some of the bodies had been found. He was like, holy fuck, how many people has he killed?
Oh, not that, but like gold mine of evidence.
Glenn was like, we need to talk to Cindy. But she was really fucking hard to find, because obviously at this stage, like she knew that the police knew who she was and all this, so she would have changed. She changed her name. Sex workers at that stage were constantly changing their names anyways, because, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
So she was difficult to track down, but he eventually managed to find her. I think it was through her pimp, actually, in a massage parlor under a different name. And she agreed to testify. Which, fair fucks her, because I would have been bitter as fuck. I would have been so bitter. Like, you didn't fucking believe me.
I mean,
I would have anyways, because she definitely was like, yeah, we need to put him away. But also, fuck you guys.
I'd be like, oh yeah, now you want me. Now.
I'm good enough now, am I?
Bastards. Robert continued to deny the allegations. He was like, it wasn't me. I swear to God, it wasn't me. Like, that's not true. And he hired an attorney, and they managed to stretch the investigation out into 1984. Like, they were just fucking spannering the works, like, dragging shit out. Do you know, just the usual shite.
For what?
Like, you're still going to try, and you might as well get it out of the way. Do you know? I suppose to see, like, could they come up with something. Like, the chances of the police fucking up and doing something that they shouldn't, aka being able to like apply for a mistrial, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
But then Glenn was like, here, have a look at this. And he showed him the map and Robert crumbled. He was like, okay, yeah, it was me. And
all it took was the fucking map after all that.
Do you know?
Yeah. In fairness, like.
They were like, right, we're going to hire or get a helicopter and you're going to come with us if you want to come. And we're going to go around in a helicopter ride, a bit of a scenic tour, and you're going to show us where all the bodies are. You know, show us the locations.
Yeah.
In one day, they managed to find the bodies of Tammy Pedersen, Sue Luna, and Malai Larson. And by the end of the whole search, they managed to find more than a dozen bodies. But Robert being a cunt was like, yeah, there's some you're just gonna never gonna find. You're never gonna find them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I suppose he was being honest, but also fuck you.
No, it was a fucking bad flex at the same time.
There was also some that we found that, anyways, that you still are denying. Remember the three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, sir? Fucking idiot. Rob was only ever charged with the murders of Eklutna, Annie, Joanna Messina, Sherry Morrow, and Paula Golding. And on the 18th of February 1984, he was sentenced to 461 years plus life for assault, kidnapping, theft, insurance fraud, murder, and rape. He spent his life in Spring Creek Correctional Facility in Seward until he died of natural causes on August 21st, 2014, at the age of 75. They said that he worked as a barber in prison and was, like, really liked by his fellow inmates. Like, he had a grand life inside in prison. He spoke about wanting to become a writer and tell his story. What story, you fucking fool? But he never did. He never bothered to write his book, thank God, because it would have just been a bunch of excuses that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah. Be something else if he was like giving the location of people that we haven't found yet, or
giving closure to families. Yeah. No, it just would have been like a, oh, woe was me vibe. My life is so sad.
Yeah. I had such a hard life because my daddy bet me to be a baker.
And now I have a store because of it. Get over it. We all have our issues.
Also, yours aren't even that honestly bad. Get over yourself.
Take a struggle, like, honestly.
Yeah, and then he died. Good enough for him. I wish he died sooner and in a worse way, but anyways.
Yeah.
In a much worse way. I'm very upset that he died peacefully after leaving
a grand life being a fucking barber to prison inmates who liked him.
Getting on having a great life in prison, not a bother on him. Like, fuck that. That was Robbie Hansen.
Robert Remix Hansen.
Robbity Bob. Yeah, he was a bad bastard. I didn't enjoy that series one bit.
No.
There wasn't even enough to, like, truly make fun of him because he was just such an average Joe all around.
So fucking boring. The only thing that was funny about him was the fucking wanted a woman who'd wear jeans.
Well, at least he's over with, and at least they eventually caught him after far too long. From fucking 69, like.
The fact that he just got
so many years, that is
just very
upset. Not a satisfying. I said this last week, it was not a satisfying ending. Very upset about it. Should have got kicked to death slowly over a period of days. To be fair, we are running up the time as is, so I guess I ask ye, do we have any good news this week?
Absolutely not.
I don't know why I ask every week, but I feel like I should, because maybe there is something.
You would like to assume, or you would like to hope.
But alas, it is winter and everything's shit.
No, I'm still sweating my tits off, so I'm fine. On the cold front. It's not good that's happened yet. Weeks back, I had a moment of madness and I spent an extraordinary amount of money on this absolutely beautiful dress. Right? Had nowhere to wear said dress too. But I just wanted to buy it because I knew I would look fucking 10 out of 10 in said dress, and dress is also stunning. Right? I'm going to go to a fucking gala. Right? I'm going to a fucking black tie event. I'm going to be a gala bitch and I'm going to bag myself a rich man. So this is my preparation for my good news. The good news has started that I have a nice dress and I have somewhere to wear it to. Now it'll just be the bagging.
Now we just need to bag the prince.
New Year's. So it's black tie.
A New Year's gala, no less.
I'm finding myself a rich man. I am seeing it now. That fucking fat black old poly dress. I am finding a husband. I'm telling you right now.
I love it. I love that for this week. No, we're manifesting it. Mm-hmm. We're making it happen. When is this happening? Oh, New Year's. Never mind. Not me forgetting when New Year's was.
When I tell you, it's the most sensational dress. I look expensive. I like a fancy Morticia Adams, if I'm being totally honest. But is that not the vibe? I fucking strive for.
I cannot wait to see it.
Fucking beautiful.
Especially for New Year's. Love that.
When the light hits it, it just looks like pure glitter. Like, it's all black, but when the light hits it, glistening, bitch. Glistening.
Love that.
Let me tell you.
I look forward to
it. So
pictures.
I'll let you know if I end up finding a husband.
Do.
But that... Dude, this is my impending good news, everybody. Okay? Now, not that money is everything, you know what I mean? It's not, but...
But does help.
If someone wants to give me a Gucci bag, like, that is absolutely so fine. You know? You don't have to back me into any corners. I'm going to agree. I'll take it off your hands.
Not going to say no to it, at the very least.
Judge me.
Okay, so we're manifesting that for the end of the year. Cuiva, anything at all?
No.
I am also on
You got
the
a new phone?
Only because my other phone fucking melted. That doesn't count as good news.
I know.
That was a fucking thing of necessity.
Cuiva, silver linings. Silver linings.
It's not even, because I can't even...
I also love the fact that we both knew, like, the day you got your new phone, not because you told us, or at least in my case, not because you told me, but because you signed into the fucking.
Oh yeah, I seen.
Email.
I was like, okay. I was like, okay, we got our new phone.
Before I actually start getting like stroppy, while I still have some good mood left in me, I say we will wrap this up here.
Yeah,
we'll be back next week for somebody's side episode.
Not me.
It's either going to be me.
I will be unavailable because am I? Oh no. No, I am. I'm fierce busy. And then the following week, I'm going home. I'm fierce busy next week.
So we'll be back next week then with my little side episode, trying to be lighthearted after all of this murder. We'll see you guys then. And I honestly don't have a message for it. Don't be robbing people's houses just because they've got nice Christmas trees. And always be a hypocrite.
What the fuck, Lizzie? Yeah. You took that personal as fuck.
Yeah.
You dug that so
I mean, that's a bad shame, man. This is the season for giving up or fucking taking.
I mean, it is, truly. And it is such a, it's a pandemic in Ireland. It really is, like, stop it.
And if you are robbing people's Christmas trees, don't forget to tense your ankles while they're running away.
And while you're at it, sure, you might as well join the club.